Welcome to another edition of Father Time, the guide to all things dadding. I'm joined, as always, by my producer and friend, Mr. Andy Lerner.
Howdy.
Andy, I heard you had a kid this week.
It's true.
It's not true at all. Andy has no children. He's the voice. Andy's the voice of reason.
Yes, and
I've listened.
So
I know.
So when we, everything starts the same anyway, and there's no ads, so we have all the time in the world to... We'll talk about what you're doing, right? My guest today is one of my oldest friends in town. I've known 20 years, probably.
Easy.
20 years.
That's a tough number I've been throwing out a lot when I talk to I've known him
for... I've been doing that for 20 years, I feel like. He's a wonderful comedian. He's toured the world, the whole country, and he has a wonderful podcast called Road Stories that I've done, where comics come on and tell the grossest, most horrible road stories that they...
Cringe-worthy...
It's
stories.
Road stories.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes. My guest today, Mr. Murray Valeriano.
And you got my name right.
Did I get it right?
Yes.
With my Irish accent?
Took 20 years to learn it.
Dude.
Murray Valeriano.
You wouldn't believe, like, my friend Jackie Cash. I just did at midnight.
Kashan?
Kashan?
That's right. That's the credit. That's what I just saw you on at midnight.
And Hardwick, who I've known for...
Over 20 years. I've known Hardwick for over 20 years. I've known him that long, and I haven't done
at midnight. Oh, that's surprising.
And I'm too old. I think I'm the target. I'm outside the target demo.
You're older than me, to him.
You're older than me, but you look younger than me, and I still did it. So
that's just horribly sad.
Right.
Murray Valeriano, but more importantly, you are a father.
I am a father of one kid.
Just one.
Just one.
That's enough.
One and done, buddy. That's all I want.
Well, you know what? It's like, how many times do you have to do anything before you go, yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
That's one.
Yeah. No, I'm acing it now. Why mess it up with another one? I'm so not acing
it. Now, you were doing the road before, just recently.
Yeah, I just got back. I was in Seattle. I did La Jolla last weekend. Where else was I?
We did the Irvine Improv recently together, and that's when I kind of was like, oh, he's got a lot of dad stuff going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I do. I'm fortunate. I get to do the stay-at-home dad thing during the week and then tour on the weekends.
Well, we'll get to that because you are kind of a stay-at-home dad, and your wife's a huge costume designer.
Did you call her fat? Is that what you're doing?
Nice, Jamie. Nice.
Seriously.
She's an enormous costume
designer. She's enormous.
She has thyroid problems. Thank you very much.
Costume designer.
Very good, Jamie. Step in your own
poop. She is extremely successful.
Yes.
Academy Award nominated.
Twice.
For La La Land.
Yeah,
recently.
One for La La Land, and the other was for True Grit.
That's right.
Yeah.
By the way, I just saw the little girl, Haley Steinfeld.
That is impressive. Let's just stop for a minute.
She's a huge singer.
That's impressive.
It's really impressive. Yeah, yeah. She's the Edith Head of this generation.
Very few people get that reference, but yes.
That's so obscure.
I wouldn't have gotten it if I didn't.
Google Edith Head.
No, I know who she is.
Well, Andy, you're older than I am.
I'm 100 years old.
You're 100 years old. But that's what I thought was great about having you on, because you are a stay-at-home dad.
Yeah, pretty much.
Today, you had to push 30 minutes. You're like, I gotta drop the kid off.
Yeah, he slept till 8:30. It was awesome. We try to kind of switch. Like, she'll go work on a movie, and then when she's off, I'll tour or get a staff writing job. And then she'll take time off, and then we try to switch. It worked for like a year and a half.
Seems like a great idea.
Yeah, it's a great idea if it ever works out.
It's like the wrestling system with the tag system, where I tag and you're in, and then
exactly.
Yeah.
I mean, last time she was off. She almost took almost a year off last year after La La Land, and I couldn't find a job. I couldn't find a staff writing job to save my life.
So you both had some quality time with your time.
It almost ended our marriage.
Boy, do that again.
Even this morning, my wife, we talk all the time, and she's always like, we're never gonna survive, this is not gonna make it. And I'm like, why is the glass half empty? She's the glass half empty, and I'm the glass is always half full.
Okay, that's good.
My
that's
glass is usually
mine's
three quarters full.
Always empty.
Your glass is just shattered.
It's been broken more times than we want to talk about.
So yeah, my wife is always like, we're never gonna survive. I go, we've made it this far.
Yeah, that's my look. I made it this far, and I made some really bad fucking decisions in my life. And I made it this far, and I'm making some better decisions,
I've
so I think we're going to be good.
But perfect decisions
really?
With
okay.
my entire...
Yes. All right.
Like at the age of 30 to go, I'm going to go to Hollywood and be an actor. My greatest decision of all time. My other choice, I was going to get into advertising. I would probably have my own firm right
oh, yeah.
now and just be jillionaire up in the hills.
You, wouldn't. Oh, you sure. wouldn't. If you were calling it a firm, you'd be in the wrong business.
That's true. Andy, thank you for being my voice of reason. I'd be homeless by now instead of where I am. Let's talk about where you came from.
Okay.
Talk about your childhood and your family.
I was born in Memphis, Tennessee, but I quickly moved out.
Where's your accent?
Because I moved to New Jersey shortly thereafter. No. I moved to Indiana and then New Jersey and then California, so all my accents kind of cancel each other out.
That's why you are typically an American
accent. I'm an American boy. I'm an American boy. But I don't know. I had probably a different childhood than most people because my dad was a Southern Baptist preacher, so... I grew up in the church.
That's our first, Andy.
Let's hear more about it.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Southern Baptist preacher,
yeah.
You grew up in a church.
In a church, pretty much, yeah. Yeah.
So. Why did he keep moving because he was...
Yeah, he moved because he got church. Or like we moved from... He went to seminary in Memphis and then got a church in Indiana, but continued seminary in Indiana. Yeah. Yeah, we lived in a trailer park. And then
this just gets better
right?
and better.
Come on.
Praise wow. Jesus.
I feel like I opened a treasure chest this morning. I was like, my buddy Murray's coming. Wait a minute. What did you just say? But this is funny because I never knew this about you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you should pay attention to my act.
What's up, Andy? Come on.
Well, the last time I saw your act, it was all you dadding. But this
yeah,
is about you.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's funny because I look at it's weird. Like, I think all comics, once they have a kid, it all becomes about kids.
Well, there's nothing else to talk
yeah.
about.
Yeah, and then like my last album I came out was all about being a dad, right. And so now I'm trying to avoid it altogether with what I'm talking about. But it's really hard to do,
right?
Because it's just all you do. Like after I leave here, I'm going to go pick up my kid and take him to soccer. It's all we do.
That's
you know what
all
I mean?
We do.
How old is your kid?
5. So I'm trying to avoid that. So I've been talking more about being a my dad and growing up in the. And religion and stuff like that. By the way, talking about religion and stand-up, oh, that's fun.
A quick way to divide the audience.
Absolutely.
I tried a couple Irish Catholic jokes early, mm-hmm. and people were like, hey, don't do that
mm-hmm.
again. Yeah.
But I know a lot about religions, so I'm able to... I literally go into the audience and ask what religions are
well,
in there.
Let's talk
about
Jews.
It always comes back to the Jews with you, Andy.
Good callback, but we weren't recording. Yeah.
What's the best religion?
The best religion?
Yeah.
Nah. I don't know if there's a best
How
religion.
How to divide your audience immediately.
That's right. What's the best one and why?
Yeah.
Was your father strict when you were a kid?
Yeah, very, very, very strict.
Like super strict. Was
yeah.
it like, what's the river runs through it where the father's like, he's a preacher, right?
Absolutely. That's funny because now all my family lives in Montana and they're big fly fishermen.
Is that right?
Yes, that's funny you mentioned that.
That's really random.
A river runs through it.
So yeah. How many siblings?
I have 2 older brothers.
3 boys.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, it is almost a river runs through it.
Yeah,
really
no,
funny.
Exactly, yeah.
You
yeah.
should sue them. you're the baby.
Yeah, I'm the youngest.
Most comics are babies because we got the most attention. We were the most spoiled, and then we needed the applause.
Wow. I think my parents gave up on, like, after my second one and just let me do whatever I wanted.
I'm the youngest of 6. My father was like, just survive.
Oh,
we don't give a shit about anything else.
6.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. Isn't it weird? That's the thing about this. It's like we talk, and like everybody I meet has kids, but we don't know anything about where we came from. And my father, Irish Catholic guy, never told us anything.
Oh, yeah.
How to get through life or anything.
Oh,
so it's really interesting to see a father who's maybe more, strict. I mean, were you just... Was he always watching you? And
you know, it's funny. All right, first of all, not a parent not telling you anything. My dad was all about the afterlife, so he didn't get me prepared for this life at all.
That's really funny.
So it's like
hilarious.
I get out in the free world, and I'm like, what's an IRA? What's a credit card? Like, I had no idea. I had no idea how to. It was.
But you did know where you were going to be in about 70 years.
Yeah, exactly.
I got plans when I'm about 85. Yeah.
Let me tell you,
until
I'm not
going to
shine in this one, but
this
the next
one,
life, buddy,
I'm going to kill it.
Where it's all at.
How did he prepare you for the afterlife? By making sure you didn't smoke or drink or fornicate, or
yeah, which of course I did.
Which is what everybody does.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny. He did. You know, he kept an eye on me until he couldn't. You know, when I became a teenager or whatever, and then. Everybody kept an eye on me because he was a preacher in a small town.
Right.
So everywhere I went, there was somebody from the church there. Like, it didn't matter where I went. So I had this, I was Jersey, so diners were the place to go. So I had waitresses in the diners. Like, I'd roll in at midnight, like, drunk, and they'd be like, ah, somebody from your dad's church is over there. Why don't you go sit in the booth over there? Like, looking out for me.
And then when you started, like, dancing and trying to get the other kids to dance, and your father just lost his mind. Is that close? No.
It's funny. I've always say, when people say my childhood was like Footloose, I say my childhood was so much like Footloose, I wasn't allowed to see the movie Footloose.
That's really funny. It's about dancing, Murray. We can't let you do that. Was your grandfather from?
My grandfather was off the boat, Italy.
And so his son became a Baptist, yeah. Southern Baptist. How do you go from Italian to Southern Baptist?
All right, okay. Well, we'll do a quick, I don't know, what is that, genealogy or
genealogy.
Something? Okay. So my dad is an Italian from Jersey, joined the Navy, Jamie joined the Navy, got stationed in Memphis, where he met my mom in the USO.
Big ocean presence
Memphis. I know.
So it's definitely the place for the
Navy. Patrolling the river.
You got to patrol that river, make sure everything's safe there.
Met my mom in the USO, got married, then he got deployed, and then while he was out, he was on one of the carriers that blocked the Russian during the Cuba conflict, blocked the Russian missiles.
Yeah, the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Yeah. So she found God while he was gone and basically said, if you want to come back, you got to find God too. And then he really
found
God.
So she found God.
I think so. I think that's how it goes.
Or was it just some dude named Jesus? We don't know what happened while he was at sea.
I don't know. Things happen when you guys are deployed.
Did she talk about how she found God? Uh-uh. Was she religious before that?
No, I don't think so.
Isn't it
he
weird?
He definitely wasn't. I mean, he was ripping up bars in Okinawa. You know what I mean?
So she, out of nowhere, something happened. Something has to happen.
Something happened. I know, I never asked her.
Isn't it weird? Like, well, I didn't know anything about my father when he was in his 20s. And then after he passed, my mother would tell crazy stories of, like, boozing and wow, like, really? I never knew that guy. But I'm so honest with my kids that they'll all probably get to the fault of, like, yeah, my father was a lunatic.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, because my dad never, first of all, my kid's not going to be able to get away with anything. I did it all. You know what I mean? I snuck out. I did drugs. I drank. Other various illegal things.
Sure.
There's no way my kid's going to be able to get that by me. But I'm also not going to be a douche about it either. You know, like, all right, I found some weed in your room. Let's fucking talk about it. Right. You know what I mean? Not beat the crap out of him.
So I hate to go back, but I'm so confused. Right. Your mom, he's tearing it up. He comes back. Your mom goes, hey, I found God. He goes, yeah, sure. I'm on board. And he went to a seminary.
He was like, yeah, I'm on board because he loved my mom so much. And then I guess he found it somewhere along the lines, like really found it, I guess, somewhere along the lines.
She just pummeled it into his head the same way my wife just pummels things into my
head. Oh, absolutely. Or maybe it's like William Wallace. You know, he just I'm doing this all for her. I'm going to seminary.
That must have been so random.
I guess it must be random for him. Well, this all happened before I was born.
Right.
So I was born into it.
Right.
So I feel bad for my brother who was 10 years older, who was like having a good time, then all of a sudden was like, oh shit, we got to go to church every day.
It didn't happen until that late? They'd already had kids before she found
it? I think so. Yeah. Because I don't think my dad got out till
something happened.
Or 65 or something like that. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
And you went to church every day?
I went to church.
Well, that was his office.
Yeah, I went to church 5 times a week, easily.
Mm.
5 times a week.
But you just,
I got to be careful because I'm starting to go into bits. I don't want to go into bits because this is what I'm talking about on stand-up now.
Yeah. But if it's, there's some bits that happen.
You're allowed to be funny.
Yeah, you can be funny. No, it's not totally serious.
First of all, it's before noon. Nothing is funny before noon.
Everything's funny before noon.
Dude, I don't understand. Like, I don't know. You probably got into getting up early and stuff in the Navy, but I went from school to bartending and waiting tables to playing in bands to stand-up. I didn't get up before noon my whole 20s and 30s, and I still have not gotten into this getting up at 7 o'clock with the kid thing. It's still miserable for me every day.
Now that I get up, like today I got up at 5, and I actually had a couple hours of like peace and quiet, got some stuff done, but I also went to bed at 9. But I have a tough thing because then I'll go on a tear where I'll do stand-up, and then I'm a mess because I still wake up at 5 in the morning and I'm working on like 3 hours of sleep.
Oh, that's the worst. I'm about 7:30. I can try. I'm going to sleep in tomorrow, but I'm usually up by like 8.
You can't help it.
You can't help it. You get up that early. But then I'm able to nap when I'm on the road.
So talk about your father is, you go to church 5 days a week. Well, you're probably just going to get some free wine, it feels like. Or is that a bit? That feels like a bit, Andy.
It might be a bit, but you know, I don't know how much wine is involved in the Baptist.
It's good call, Andy.
I actually
good
don't call, know, Andy. We're Irish Catholic, which, by the way, you, as an Italian, I'm pretty sure you should be Catholic.
I know, I should
Was
be
your
Catholic.
Grandfather Catholic? And why would he choose, oh, your mother's a Baptist.
Yeah, my mother's from the South.
That's where he
was the New Jersey Italian and then fell in love.
Someone got to her while he was out of town is what happened.
Well, his father
Jesus
must
Christ,
have been
Andy.
Was his
yeah.
father
somebody
Pitt?
Like that, yeah. Probably somebody like that.
Jesus was in the house. Well, his older brother's named Jesus. His father must have been pissed of like, you. Wait a minute, you're becoming a Southern Baptist?
My grandfather, Salvatore, died when I was like 10.
So Salvatore Valeriano.
There's a Salvatore in the world that's not Catholic.
I told you, he was off the boat Italy.
Was he a gangster?
No.
Come on, he did some crazy stuff.
That stuff doesn't
now, that's
exist.
That's racist.
Yeah.
Okay. Plus, we all know the mafia doesn't exist.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, they're just businessmen.
Yeah. Sure, I lived across the street from guys who are in construction and their pickup truck never left the driveway and they had great pools and tennis courts. But that,
hey,
it doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist at all. That's hilarious, man. My sister converted to Judaism in the 60s, and my father was real happy about
oh,
that.
Yeah,
he was so pleased. And then they got divorced and she converted back.
Sure, of course.
Yeah, it's absolutely. I love how religion is just it's part of love of like, oh yeah, it's like a tattoo you get while right. you're in love and then you get it erased.
Well, we baptized my kid in the Greek church because my wife is Greek and her dad's Greek. And I'm like, yeah, sure.
My wife's
I hear a lot about the Greek Baptists.
Yeah. No,
well, the thing is like she didn't grow up in the church, so I had to like Google it, make sure there was nothing legally binding, make sure I didn't have to do anything. And I'm like, yeah, go ahead. I don't care. It doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm not crazy religious, but my wife she's Catholic. And so, yeah, the kids were christened and mm-hmm. baptized and we got married in a Catholic church. And I only did it. I was like, yeah, I don't care. Sure.
Right.
It doesn't hurt, yeah. Which is makes me laugh when other people are so angry at other people's religions. You're like, why do you care,
they're
dude.
All make believe.
Why do you care?
Yeah.
I prescribe to the theory that this is actually heaven. We're living
oh, really?
In it now, and that why would you gamble on something later? You know,
right.
It's basically like you're at a killer party, mm-hmm. and your friend goes, hey, don't drink too much. Don't meet a girl here. There's a better party we're going to. And you're like, actually, this right. party's pretty good.
And then you ask, where is that party? He's like, well, hey, I don't know.
You got to believe
yeah, we might
that
not,
there is a party
it
first.
It might not actually be there,
we
but
don't
if
know.
It is,
if
it
is,
it is.
It's going to go on forever. And you're like, dude, this party's really great.
By
right
the way,
here.
Living forever sounds awful to me.
Sounds
right
horrible.
Now. It sounds terrible.
It sounds absolutely. I've seen Highlander. It ends. He's sad.
I've never met a happy vampire.
Everyone. That's right. Why aren't they happy? They're living forever.
Their diet's a little fucked up too.
Yeah, the immortals always seem angry. Wouldn't you be angry? You'd be like, I've done that, been there, can't get out of this shit. I saw Groundhog Day. He goes through some tough times.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. God,
it's so good. It's so good. Okay, so you are in high school. You are like, well, I don't want to be Southern Baptist. I'm going to smoke and drink and fornicate.
Yeah. I didn't think I didn't want to be Southern Baptist at that point. I mean, I was still going to church 5 times a week. I was just going with a hangover and a little high.
I mean,
sometimes.
An hour a day for church, like in the morning?
No.
How do you
see.
Go to church 5 days a week?
Sunday morning. Sorry, I'm tying the table. Sunday school. Sunday evening. There's some sort of Wednesday night prayer meeting, and then there's like a Friday youth group activity. And that's before any kind of like missionary conference, Bible conference, anything like that. So, you know, because my dad was like, oh, the first time I got, I think the first time I took acid, I came home.
Okay, hold on. Let's all.
That's a line I didn't
in.
Expect to hear in
it
that
came
conversation.
Out of nowhere. The first time I killed a hooker was, gosh, how did that go down?
I was
oh,
on
wait.
That missionary retreat.
Were you on some Bible camp or something?
No, it was either acid or first time I smoked pot. I came home and my dad had, must have been pot. My dad had a bunch of missionaries over for dinner and I was just high as a kite. But they were like missionaries from India. So the food was just, I was like,
you're like, I love curry.
This is the best food I've ever had, man.
Did he know? Could he tell?
Oh, no. That's the other thing. Well, it's that generation doesn't know. From, you know, unless they smell alcohol in your breath, they're not going to know what acid or
I would
or
come home
weed
in,
or, you know,
in high school,
I'd
come home with a lollipop in my mouth, and my father would be like, drinking again, are you? I go, no, Dad, I just like lollipops at 11:30 on a Friday night. What are you? He's like, he should have just been, like, if I was the father, I'd be like, I know you're an idiot.
Right, right, yeah.
Be better, be smarter.
Right, yeah, I know. That's what I hope I can
drink here at home.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I hope
with
I
me,
can.
Where he's drinking, he's going on Schlitz number 7 for the night. What was so those Bible camps where you, I mean, oh, yeah, where, I you probably got some good banging going at those Bible camps.
No, I had to go to an all boys Bible camp.
Less banging.
A lot of less banging. The good banging or dry humping.
was at the back
of a church van on those youth group retreats, because you'd come back at night,
yeah,
and the driver
all piled in.
Just you're just piled on top of each other,
like
man.
It's like a Greek orgy with like a Bible sweatshirt,
yeah, exactly,
covering
exactly. So yeah, so the back of the van with yeah, exactly. It was total Gropeville, man. Yeah. It was like, great.
Remember those old?
I do a joke about going into. Do you know what lock-in is?
No,
a lock-in is when it's a youth group activity where. The preacher pretty much preaches that premarital sex leads to eternal damnation, and then they take 16 and 17-year-old boys and girls and locks them in a YMCA overnight, so they all hang out and then just dry hump their way to hell. It's pretty much what happens.
Well, you don't go to hell for dry humping.
That I know.
Where is the line of hell? Is it penetration?
I think so.
Because I think a lot of people would then go, you know, oral or other.
Well, I think that's a lot of what they're doing now.
It's a go. They save themselves for marriage, but they right, know, but they the do back door is wide open.
Yeah, totally. That's called God's loophole, if I remember correctly.
Wait, is that yeah. a joke?
No, it's somebody.
You should write that
no,
down.
No, somebody. That's not. I think that's what it's actually called. And then
God's loophole is the back door.
I think it's Kathy Griffith.
Garfunkel and Oates did a song called God's Loophole.
The cinnamon
that's
knot.
That's right. That's worth it. That's yeah. worth
that's
it.
That's Jimmy Schubert.
Those girls are funny.
The cinnamon knot and the cinnamon ring and the balloon knot.
Right. Let me tell you something.
Jimmy Schubert. I wish he had kids. Maybe I'll make
great.
An exception and have Schubert on it.
That guy's amazing. I love Schubert so much.
I can't. So what were the? I can't wrap
First
my head
of
around
all,
this.
The lock-in thing. Can we spend a minute with that?
Sure.
What the fuck are they thinking about?
It's to test you, right? But if you know, and at that age, hormonally, this you're going to fail that test.
Oh, absolutely.
Nowadays they'd have cameras.
But then,
on
it's like a YMCA.
How crazy that this is the craziest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, this is really big in the Catholic Church.
I never went to church.
Oh, okay. I think it's
but here's
really
what happened.
Big in
I
Catholic
do this.
Church.
This is a joke I've done. Okay. My father, he went to church through 5 kids, and by the time he got to me, we had moved to New Hampshire, and they never started a new church. And he always said, he goes, I'm not getting up on my one day off to go to work to listen to a guy who drinks wine while he works one day a week and doesn't pay taxes. Fuck that guy, is what my father, he said that to me.
Right,
and I was
right.
like, and I go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense,
right,
Dad.
Absolutely.
So I never got confirmed, and I've been godfather like 3 times.
Oh, really?
So I'm definitely burning in hell.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
But you'll be burning in hell under false pretenses.
Yeah. Were the lock-ins, were they just, you must have just been such a turn on it. Like, well, you're going to lock me in the gym with
well,
all
that's
these
a, it's
chicks?
A YMCA, too, so they can't, so there's the gym, there's the pool, there's the basketball court, there's the...
Skinny dipping? Uh-oh.
All right, I don't think I've ever told this story in my life. There's a missionary house, I guess, in the next town, and it had a pool, and I used to take my girlfriend and go skinny dipping it all the time. Oh, man, it was so much fun. If I ever got caught doing that, oh, dude, forget about it.
What
I
would
be
do?
Dead. I'd be dead. First of all, my dad would beat the shit out of me.
Did he hit you?
Oh, all the time.
And what? The fuck is going on here?
And then my dad
you
would get in
even
trouble.
You guess that? I guessed that.
You
did? Oh,
come
on. Sure.
Absolutely. Did he have like a, did he go,
this
go
was
get the,
the
belt?
This was
go
the
get
80s,
switch?
Too, man. That was the last generation where you could beat your kids.
Yeah, but it wasn't that prevalent. My father
really?
Never hit me once.
Even
never
though he's
once.
A big drinker?
Oh, he's a boozer, yeah.
And didn't hit you?
But he never missed a day of work.
I thought that went hand in hand.
To my father's credit,
it's in the manual.
He was a man because he drank. I mean, every night he had a few beers. Never, mm-hmm. never got sloppy. Never crazy. Never missed a day of work.
Oh, really?
In my whole life, I don't remember him ever staying home once.
Wow.
Sick. He might have been immortal. He might have been like Bruce Willis in Unbreakable. It's like, I don't think I've ever been sick, man. Never hit me. Your father would hit you for anything.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. We had a really violent. I had 2 older brothers, so we were just in Italian anger. So we were just.
Are you a big brawler?
Not anymore. I've toned it. I brawled all the way growing up.
You
so,
did?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we stepped
in. How would he hit you? With a belt? With a switch? With his hand?
A switch?
I don't know. That's it. Go
this
get it!
This is
that's
the
a
1980s, not
yeah,
the 1880s.
Go
out in the backyard and grab a switch.
But we used to, my brothers, because I had 2 older brothers, and one of my brothers is like 10 years older than me, so.
He could just kill you.
Oh, he would just beat the crap out of both me and my brother, until I got to 16, I could start hitting back. But we had to put wood paneling in the downstairs because of all the fists and heads going into the drywall and stuff.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
How would he hit you?
I don't know. However you hit a kid.
No, that's no. It's, they differ. Would he hit you with something?
If he had something.
Did he have a shaving strap?
A shaving strap?
That's worse than switch.
If he had something.
What else?
Never what's piss dad off when he has a baseball bat in
what's
his
a
hand.
Shaving
well,
strap?
Well, it sounds like it was a formal, you know, like the Southern Baptist in the movies. He goes, go grab your belt. He takes his belt off.
Yeah, my dad was Bing Crosby. That's
what I'm so intrigued by this whole, I didn't know any of this about you. That's so crazy. Mm. So in high school, you were like, I can't take this anymore.
No, I don't know if I can't. I don't think that came till about my 20s. You know, I did. I just kind of like I just ignored it for 20 years. Like, you know, I grew up going through church and everything, and I just completely just out when I got out, I just completely ignored it. Didn't go to church. Then I had a kid, and like, oh shit, I got to figure this stuff out, man.
There's the segue, Andy. It always comes up naturally, doesn't it?
And that's why I should have been talking about this stuff in stand-up 20 years ago, but I just blocked it out of my head.
Yeah.
So now I'm talking about it now, because now I got to figure out what do I believe, because, you know.
Were you a good student in school?
No. I mean, I probably could have been, but I'm telling you, man, my dad was so focused on the church, like.
He didn't care about, hey, Dad, I'd like to read. Who cares about reading? The only book here is the Bible.
Pretty much. I mean, pretty much.
I'm reading Moby Dick. Oh, that's got the word dick. That sounds scandalous.
Yes, exactly. So it was pretty much that.
Did he just start crossing books off the list? Moby Dick. What are other books? Little Women. Women.
No women.
Stay away from women. Did you read the Bible as a kid?
I read the Bible, sure. Yeah.
I've never read it.
A couple times. Through and through.
A couple times?
Yeah, probably. I mean, yeah.
I saw the Ten Commandments with Charlton Heston. Is that enough?
It's probably more fun.
It's close. Way close. Yeah, the Bible seems, I don't know, I've never read it. I should, everyone says you should read it.
Yeah, see, there's your Ten Commandments.
I get
huh,
you,
Moses?
Edward, yeah, he takes the Edward G. Robinson role. Oh, I get
right.
it. What a
way to attract the young audience.
Yeah, see? Hey, Moses.
There is no young audience. We're parents. There's no audience. This is a,
somebody were, made the mistake earlier than we did, didn't they?
Unless you're an 18-year-old kid with a kid. Yeah.
Teen mom on TV.
So you get out of high school. Did you always know you wanted to be a comic? Well, you were bartender band.
I did, but I didn't do it until later on in life.
Yeah.
It was where we grew up outside of New York, but I mean, 20 minutes outside of New York, and it was just another lifetime.
My wife's Jersey. She's Windsor, East Windsor,
okay.
Princeton.
So she's down south. That's where my brother went to Princeton.
Like an hour. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your brother went to Princeton?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so your father did something, right? He obviously was a pretty good student.
Yeah. It was funny. He wasn't until he got into college, and then he became, like, he hated school all the way through.
Listen, you don't just stumble into Princeton and then become, Princeton's one of the...
Oh, I know, but it's like, you know... He was a jock, and why am I telling my brother's story? He was a jock in high school. In the senior year, he was a quarterback. They came out to scout him. First play, busted his collarbone. So, done. Football's done. So, he just kind of worked his way up from junior college to a regular college to, I think he did a year at Oxford and then went to Princeton.
That's
and
crazy.
Now he's a professor.
Did you go to
paying
college?
Off all the bills.
Of what?
Yeah.
Princeton. Philosophy and theology.
That's heavy duty. He knows some book titles.
Is he still a religious Southern Baptist?
Yeah, he's actually involved in his church. I think he's Lutheran or Presbyterian or something.
I honestly couldn't tell the difference if you said any of those. I don't know. I don't even know the differences.
Is your dad still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive.
So what's his opinion on the Lutheran, Protestant something or other?
He's fine with it. I think he goes to that church now. He retired. He's not...
I do love whenever I hear all these different religions, there's all these different religions. At the end, at the top of the pyramid, it always comes back to Christianity or something, right? And so they're always, it's the same.
Pretty much.
Like the Protestants fought the Catholics. I'm an Irish guy, and that was the big thing, that we were Catholics and the English were the Protestants.
Right.
And at the end of the day, you're like, aren't we really the same? Why are we killing each other over this?
It's pretty much what it all
was like, well, it's they interpreted what he said a little different. And you're like, really? That's the end of it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's crazy, man. So you get out of high school, you don't go to college.
No, I went to school, nothing near as close to Princeton.
Well, there's nothing next to Princeton unless you went to Harvard.
No, I bounced around local colleges like William Patterson and stuff like that.
Were you just floundering, like you didn't know what you wanted to do, or you were just like going to college to go to college?
I was just going to school to go to school.
Yeah,
I was doing music studies and
have sex.
Yeah. Yeah. I did music studies and stuff like that. I wanted to be a musician or teach music or something.
Did you, like, some of my friends I always talk to, and they're like, they knew they wanted to have kids, like, early on. I never was going to have kids. I was like, I don't want to get married, I don't want to have kids, and I fell into it really late in life. But other friends were like, always knew eventually they would.
No, I had friends like that, man. They're just like, yeah, I want a family. Boom, that's what I want. I was like, if I have a kid, I have a kid, as long as,
yeah,
you know. I mean, if I was married, like, after we got married, my wife and I would talk about having kids, and she would always say, well, I want to have one if you want to have one. I'm like, well, we're not going to have one then. You know what I mean? So like, funny. If you want to have a kid, we'll have a kid. I got no problem with that, but I never actively pursued it.
Yeah. So you got out, bartended, comedy, working,
yeah.
Came to LA.
Yeah.
Met a woman.
Much later. Met many women before I met this
woman. I
mean,
those were years and years.
Oh, yeah. I've been
on the road. I know. And on the road and crazy.
And then I stopped doing stand-up. I started writing for TV, so I stopped doing stand-up for like 6 or 7 years. And then I got back into it. It was funny, when I got back into it, I was married. But when I got out of it, I wasn't married. So I had to sit down and talk to my wife about, I'm getting back into stand-up. It was almost like I was confessing something.
Yeah, you know? Cheating on you.
Yeah. It was like, I'm going to be out every night. You're not going to want to see this for a while.
How was she with that? Because my wife sometimes, she doesn't love me going out at night.
She's fine with it now because she knows it's what I do. She was a little, every once in a while, like when I first started out, she's like, you better not be seeing anybody. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah. Well, you know, I was leaving at 9 o'clock at night because when I got back into
coming home at 7 a.m.
Yeah. When I got back into it, I didn't call into the Improvs or the Ice House or the Factory because I needed to get my chops back up. So I was going out to bowling alleys in the Valley and, you know, getting 1:30 slots and, you know, Thousand Oaks or something. So
horrible.
I did that for like 6 months to a year before I started calling into the clubs.
Yeah. All right. So you have a little boy.
Mm-hmm.
How was it right out of the chute? Was it just life changing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we went to New York for 3 months. My wife had to work on a movie. It went to work like 2 weeks right after our kid was born.
She's been steadily working as a costume designer. She can just pick and choose the job she wants.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, she probably turns down more jobs than I get offered.
Isn't that, it must be like, oh, baby, please.
So we went to New York for 3 months. So I mean, it was funny. I was like, great, this is perfect. I'll watch the kid during the day and I'll do spots at night. No, like watching the kid all day and then like, getting into the New York scene, because I only knew everybody I knew in New York had moved out here.
Right.
So I was getting like 1:30 a.m., 2 a.m. slots and having to get up at like 5. So that got squelched. I'm like, all right, I'm
like
taking the next 3 months off.
That's like a 10-minute spot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 7.
See, I just don't know how much. It's like I just always felt like I could just run it 3 times at my house.
Yeah, exactly.
As opposed to going to 1:30. Like, I don't even put in, when I put in avails, I'm like, I'm not doing a midnight show.
Right. Right. Yeah, I don't even go to it. Now that it's funny, Jamie lived on the west side, and like the day I moved to the west side, you moved over here.
Yeah.
Like about 5 or 6 years
ago. And I lived there forever, though.
Yeah, yeah.
In a studio apartment by the beach that was $700 a month.
Oh, so beautiful.
That's how I saved all the money to buy the house in the valley.
So beautiful.
I know.
It's amazing.
It was I think about those days. Those were good. Those were good days. But now, honestly, I don't know how you feel, but I mean, the kids have definitely changed me. I love it.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's the hardest thing I've ever done, but it's also, you know, it's so cliche, but it is the most rewarding.
Oh, it's so much fun. I love it.
But the fear now, I have like horrible, still fear with the kids.
Like what kind of fear?
That something would happen to them, especially, you know, you can't help it with today's world, and you look at the news. I try not to be a fear monger, but you see these, you know, the shootings at schools and crazy things, and
sure.
It worries me. Even this morning, I dropped my kid off at school, and I'm just always looking around to see security cams and make sure doors are locked. Mm-hmm. Like, why? You know, part of me is like, why is that door open? I don't know why, but it's the world. I never thought that way as a kid.
Right.
Or years ago. It's this crazy fear-mongering that's going on that's making us all kind of paranoid about, you know, stuff happening to your family.
Wow, I guess I'm not a good dad. I don't really
think you know
that
stuff. Maybe I'm a terrible dad.
No, my fear...
You have a zen... You've always had a zen state. Like, I wish I was more. I have friends like you, Matt Knutson, Maz Jobrani. When a show goes bad, they go, "Yeah, show's okay."
Right.
When the show goes great, they go, "Yeah, show was okay."
Right.
Like everything's always good,
yeah.
And I'm, oh man, I wear my heart on my sleeve. Like if something's great, I'm like, oh, "That was so great." And when something's horrible, I'm like, "God damn it!"
Oh, it took me so long to learn that killing just doesn't matter after the show is over. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, killing in stand-up, not killing in childhood.
Well, we just did come out of the shooting bit,
know,
and then
I
you're
know.
Going to this.
Wrong verbiage. But, you know, it took so long to realize that just crushing a set doesn't matter a half hour after. Yeah. Doesn't matter what you leave.
Well, everyone I thought was like, what was your big break? There are no big breaks. It's a long career. Some people do have huge, crazy, flukish breaks, but all of a sudden they come and go.
Right, right.
The people who can really maintain a career in this town are it's amazing. When you think about trying to earn a living in this town, mm-hmm. I mean, Andy, we all talk about this.
You told me this was going to be my big break.
It is, Andy. One day. Don't you feel it? This is the moment. This podcast is going to launch us into the stratosphere. All of a sudden, we're going to break on Christianity Times. We're going to get a big write-up.
Watch, this will be the only podcast my parents listen to.
Well, we should talk about Jews more then.
No, Steve, a red light just went off in Steve Bannon's office. Breitbart News is like, send someone over to the Kaler house.
You know, it's funny. I just thought of this, but I don't want to get into politics. But I used to tone down my Facebook jokes and riffs like that because I knew my mom was friends with me on Facebook. I said, but if you follow me on Twitter, everything I put anything I want on Twitter. So if you don't want to follow me on Twitter, that's fine. But then after the Christians voted for Trump, I'm like, well, if you're good with that, you're good with my pussy jokes. Exactly. You know what I mean? So I don't care anymore. So now I just put it all up, and I was really because we said I did at midnight earlier, and it was like the dirtiest.
Is that right?
I've ever done. Like, I don't really work dirty. I'm not against it.
You're not a dirty cop.
Don't get me wrong. I'm filthy
as
a person.
We just had Eddie Ift on.
Oh, forget it.
I was like, wow, man. Halfway through, I think Andy and I both looked at each other. I was like, wow, I didn't realize Eddie was this filthy.
Oh, absolutely.
He's one of the most filthy people. I honestly had to write a little blurb to go like, hey, don't tell my wife about the stories we just talked about.
Oh,
and this is gruesome.
At the first podcast festival, he brought in she called herself a tranny, so I'll call her a tranny. And then they got into a fist fight in the lobby of the podcast festival. Oh, yeah. Ift's great.
And you were on acid, I think, that
yeah,
day.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, how has being a dad changed you then? It seems like you seamlessly jumped into it. Because a lot of people who are listening are, like, overwhelmed. We get people who are like, I don't know what I got into. And now they're overwhelmed. But you seem to be like, yeah, it's all groovy.
I got a good wife. She really loves being a mom. To be honest with you, I got to give her all the credit. She really. It's so funny because when she got pregnant, she's like, "All right, you're obviously going to be the good dad, and I'm going to be the troubled mom." And there's something about moms carrying something in your body for 9 months, like it flipped the switch, and now she's just, you know, she's great. She, even though she's working, she gets up early and will make his lunch for him and stuff, and make me dinner and stuff like that.
She does.
Yeah, yeah.
And she works full time.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, man.
So, I mean, the wife really
takes
a lot.
Can you talk to my wife?
A brunt of it. No, I married a unicorn. You got to find your own. But it's changed me in the fact that I don't know. Like, my buddy Pat Francis, I co-host a Rock Solid podcast with. He'll call me like, hey, man, want to go see Hall & Oates tonight? Nah, I think I'm going to hang out with my kids and my wife because I'm not going to see them for a couple days because I'm going on the road. You know, so I a lot of that's changed. A lot of not hanging out after the club. After performing,
honestly, my favorite change coming with kids.
Yeah,
because they used to be like, you know, you'd leave before if you didn't have kids, and they go, "You pussy,
right?
You're a fucking pussy. Where are you going?" And now you're like, "Oh man, I gotta go home. I got my kids." And they go, "Oh yeah, I totally get it, man.
Don't worry, you'll sweat it. I totally get it.
We'll do it next time,
right?"
And I go, "Yeah, next time. There's no next time. It's never happening.
In 18 years, if I
but
don't
I
have
love it.
Kid.
That's honestly, it's the greatest excuse. I should have just lied years ago.
Yeah, absolutely.
I had kids.
Like I drove home from La Jolla after the second show. This week, mm-hmm. just because I could spend the morning with my kid and I could send my wife to yoga, you know what I mean? And she works all week, so I want her to go to yoga on the weekends. So, I hop in the car after signing CDs and glad handing. I got in about 12:30 in the car. I got home about 2, slept till 7 when he woke me up.
Right.
And so, yeah, stuff like that changed. If I didn't have a kid, I would have stayed there.
Anything?
I would have surfed.
Do you fight about anything?
She's fucking Greek. We fight about everything.
Okay, thank God. Sometimes
she's Greek and I'm Italian.
My friends will listen to these podcasts and then they'll call and they go, "Hey man, are you guys okay? It sounds like you're getting divorced." A lot of people have said that to me, and I go, "What are you talking about?" And they go, "Some of the stories you tell, man, it sounds like you guys aren't going to make it." And I go, "Oh, we're making it.
Yeah,
we're two redheads with two redheaded kids. Yeah. We're crazy people.
Yeah, yeah." But oh, no, we fight all the time. Man.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
You scared me for a second.
No, please. Oh, you wouldn't believe the fights we
had.
We got to put a paneling in the
had?
We got to put a paneling in the living room to cover the heads and fists going into the drywall.
I don't believe that. I mean, I know you beat her because your father beat you,
exactly,
and it's hereditary.
Exactly.
But
she deserves it.
Do you spank your son?
No, and I'll tell you why. It doesn't work on him.
Did it work on you? No.
I don't think so.
No, of course it didn't.
I don't think so. But I, again, I don't judge anybody for spanking their kid. I feel what I found that I used to discipline my child works for my child. It might not work for your children. Just the way whatever you do might not work for my kid. You got to find it. Whereas I came from the thing, well, you fuck up, you get your ass beat. That's kind of the school. Yeah. That I came. By the way, I should probably say I've made up with my dad, but you know, we're good now. We kind of had a.
Oh, you did.
I kind of had a come to Jesus meeting. What?
Didn't feel like you. I mean, did you resent him and not talk for a while? Were you guys?
No, I moved 3,000 miles away, and we came really closer.
Well, I moved 3,000 miles away just because I didn't want to live in the icy cold.
Oh, yeah.
Winters of New Hampshire anymore. Yeah, yeah. So I'm going to California. Yeah, I don't know absolutely. Why we didn't live there years ago. You're a crazy person.
I know. Oh, man. I was just. Anybody who, like, from the East Coast says, don't you miss the weather means don't you miss the shitty weather.
Yeah.
Because I don't miss, I will tell I don't miss you, shoveling though, snow at all.
My wife, you know, she always kind of tells her, we don't have any family out here.
Mm-hmm.
All our family's in Jersey, where she is. And she's always kind of, you know, she would love to be near her family. But she also doesn't remember, because when we are with the family, it's always like, it's great for a few days. And then right. They're like, I got to get out of here.
Absolutely.
It's like anything else. But they have this reminiscent of like, oh, remember, wouldn't it be great if mom and dad lived next door? And you're like, no.
Yeah, no.
Didn't you watch Everybody Loves Raymond? It goes horribly.
We don't have family out here either. But we both have healthy separations because my wife grew up in Florida, but she went to school in New York. So she's been out on her own since college. So, and her family lives in Florida. So we're just East Coast, you know.
Do you travel a lot back and forth?
We try to. I mean, she's a little older, so her parents are a little older. Yeah. So we try to go. Her mom died about 5 years ago, but her dad's still there. And so we try. I encourage her to go or even come with her, although I got a week pass. She took Frank down to visit her dad because she knew she was going on back-to-back movies. And she's like, you can stay home if you want.
You went back to your acid days.
Yeah, I started dropping acid.
Get some acid and surf.
Went and saw, yeah, it was great. Yeah. I saw like 2 concerts. I played poker. Surfed every day.
But at the end of the week, you're like, I can't wait for my wife to come home.
Dude,
I can't
2 days
anymore.
Into it. 2 days into it. I paddle out, and one of the dads I met preschool with is a surfer, and he paddled out with me, and he's like, and I'm like, oh man, this is nice. And he's like, yeah, I brought my family. And I looked up on the beach and saw his family. I was just like, oh
my family's not.
It's only been 2 days and I'm missing him. What the fuck? I was supposed to miss him like around Saturday.
Had any scary stories where you were a kid where you're with your son, where you like emergency rooms? Or
we had one trip to the emergency room for 4 stitches in his head. And that was on my wife's watch.
It's funny that you say that, because I think that that's everybody's. You're always like, God, I hope my kid doesn't get hurt. But if she does, I truly hope my wife's watching her.
Oh, yeah.
Which is the sickest thing to ever think about. To go like, I mean, part of you almost wants, listen, I don't want her to get horribly injured.
Right, right.
But it is a small injury.
Right.
Something that would heal.
Sure.
Under my wife's watch, so that one, you know, then you can go, hey, that was on you.
Right, right. And please, I would never have lived it down if it was on my
watch.
That's
the problem.
And that's not just my wife. I think that's every mother.
It's because they gave birth.
Exactly.
And so they're like, look, it's really, this child's part of my flesh.
Exactly.
So if it happens on my watch, it's not that big of a deal. But if, God forbid, you F up my child, I will kill you.
Absolutely. We had two scary moments I can think of. One was he decided to hide in the front yard without telling me, and then I just went fucking ballistic for like 15 minutes, and I do
that as a joke. I go, my daughter likes to play hide and seek without telling me.
Oh, okay.
And I go, I do the same thing of like, it's the most terrifying thing where you're like, where is she?
Right.
This unbelievable panic.
Oh, absolutely.
Were you calling the police?
I had my neighbor looking for him, and then he was just behind the tree giggling for 15 minutes.
He thinks it's hilarious. Right?
And then I just sat him down, and I'm like, this is, no, we do not do this. This is every time I yell your name, you yell here. Let's practice right now. And I just put it, so even now, and this was 2.5 years ago, even now, like, Frank, here, like wherever he's at. So I got that one right in the bud.
That's pretty smart. I might actually start. I think that's a good thing to do with kids, to go like,
and make it a game.
You know what Marco Polo.
Yeah, make it a Marco Polo game.
Hey, here's a game we're going to play for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It's called Marco Polo.
Yeah.
Every time I say Marco, you say Polo.
Wherever you are. Yeah. I don't care if you're in college.
I'm totally using that. I think that's maybe the greatest thing that's come out of this podcast so far.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's saved me in the store. Like, he'll take off. I'll be, Frank, here. follow him around and then yell at him for taking off.
Do you get this weird, it's a weird sensation.
It's weird because his kid's name is Bill.
Yeah.
That's
Bill Polo.
I should tell him to not respond to all the names.
That's right.
Just maybe his own. Yeah.
Frank's not your name.
You definitely can tell it's chemical because like if you look up and the kid's missing, it's not just this normal, there's a weird surge of adrenaline and panic.
Oh, absolutely.
That overcomes your body. I can only imagine if all of a sudden you're like, man, and you don't find the kid, and you're like, oh my God.
That sounds horrible.
Am I right? The most terrifying thing of all time.
Actually, I forgot all about this, but the scariest thing that ever happened to me was he used to nap. He was a marathon napper. Like, I'd pick him up from preschool at noon. One, he was down till five. Like, he was a marathon napper,
that
four and a half
like
hours.
The greatest afternoon of all time.
It was. I went through Sons of Anarchy, the whole series.
If the kids, I have to look at the time of the movie.
Right.
And I go, I just put the kid down. She's going to be down for two and 10. I might get this in. And then I got to start it right then and there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And someone will call you in the middle and you're like, I can't talk because I literally have a window of exactly, I'll have 3 minutes extra to watch this movie.
Oh, absolutely. No, man. Yeah, it was great. And then it got really old.
So
after
what happened?
A while.
He napped.
Oh, so I went in to go wake him up and he wouldn't wake up. And all of a sudden it was just like, hey, Frank, get up. And I'd push him, hey, Frank, get up. And he wouldn't move. And then, do you want to talk panic? That was like, got the phone out, slammed on the light. Frank got the unlocking my phone. Why did I, you know, fumble with my phone, getting 911 going? And I'm yelling, Frank, Frank, Frank. And what I was doing was scaring him. So he just kind of like would just curl up in the pillow and I couldn't see his face. So he's not moving for what seemed like a lifetime, you know, which was probably about 15 seconds or whatever. But in that 15 seconds, SIDS is going through my brain, sudden infant death syndrome, you know, cradled all through that. And I got 911 and I hit send and I'm like, Frank. And I see one tear come out of his eye and I fucking collapsed on the floor. I just went down. I started crying. I was just like, I thought I had a dead kid in my crib. I literally thought I had a dead child. And it was just, and I got up. I'm like, don't you ever fucking do that again.
I will kill you.
No, that was seriously the scariest.
I would be surprised if every parent hasn't had that. I've had that.
Oh, okay.
Of course. Well, when the baby's first born, you're like constantly checking, is she breathing? Is she breathing?
Oh, yeah. That's...
And then you wake her up and you're like, God damn it. And then it wrecks the next 2 hours. And you do that a handful of times. And then eventually you go, look, if she's dead, there's nothing. I can't do anything with this. So there's nothing I can do. Right. I'm not waking her up again.
Right.
And then it all starts to subside and you do that. But yeah.
I still kind of like when my kid slept till 8:30 this morning and he usually gets up at 7 and I got up at 7:30 and then I'm like, oh, maybe he's not sleeping.
Maybe
I should go check on him because you're so used to him sleeping and then you can't enjoy the extra half hour they're sleeping because you're worried they might be dead.
We went through a few week period where like 3 a.m.
Don't laugh at that.
Almost on schedule, Claire would cry from her crib and go like, mommy bed, mommy bed. And we'd bring her into our bed. And then like one day we both woke up in the bed and she hadn't cried. She was sleeping in her own crib. And we were both like, is she breathing? We both were panicked and we both walked down and we were like, and we woke her up and she started screaming and I was like, don't do that again. She's dead. There's nothing I can do about it.
At least we can get an extra
so
half hour.
How in like the 15 seconds that you thought Frank wasn't there, it's not just the immediacy of it. Your brain thinks 15 years down the line.
Oh.
Where you go in your brain in those 15 seconds, you go, he's gone. My wife leaves me. I'm homeless. I go on a shooting spree. You can't help it. Your brain just goes down the track. And
during
you can't
all
it.
Those thoughts of I got to get 911. Do I remember my CPR? My wife and I are never going to survive this. Like that was just
we'll never. My wife and I would never survive.
That was the possible thinking, and that was just the absolutely.
We walk our dog around the neighborhood, and one of our neighbors has a car that is parked. I want to knock on their door and say, "Hey, dude, can you park on the street?" Because their driveway is a 45-degree angle. They have a Mini Cooper. It's obviously, it's got the brakes on and stuff.
Sure.
But if the brake goes, we walk behind it with the dog every day. And yesterday I was walking with my little 2-year-old and the dog and Hannah were walking around and she's walking across the driveway. And in my head, the whole vision of her being absolutely flattened under the tire goes through my head. And I literally, I was like, ugh! And I shook to go like the panic. I wouldn't survive it.
Oh yeah,
I wouldn't get through it.
Oh, me neither.
To go like that, the football player just ran over his own daughter in the driveway. Didn't you?
I don't follow sports.
He's. it was other. It was, I think it had a different tack.
Was that not during
this
his practice?
This is the baby derby.
I love that you made a joke. The death gallows humor, you have to. But he has five kids. He's a really nice. He's a Mormon guy, and the baby was playing. She was three. She was playing in the driveway behind the car, and he went to pull out at like 10 in the morning and ran his own.
See, that's where.
I don't know how you live through.
You know how you
like
live
that.
It? It's religion. I am not a religious guy, but I do applaud religion in the fact that you would have to, like I said, this is the party. We're here. This is the party until the party goes horribly awry and you go, we got to get out of this party.
Right.
Hopefully there's a better party after this party. That's the only time religion makes sense to me is in the face of horrible tragedy. Because I don't know how else you survive it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't make
it. You got to go on to something a little bit more than you. You got to focus on something that's more powerful than you.
You'd have to.
That you think is more powerful.
Because otherwise, but the truth is it's all just sheer coincidence and random acts of, there's nothing you can do. We are, you know, I always go back to The Matrix where he goes, you're a virus. We are. We're just expanding and growing and we think we're the individual, but we're just part of this whole thing. And when one goes or one comes, it's really not that big of a deal.
Yeah, true. I mean, everybody's like fighting. There is no climate change. Our whole existence has been nothing but climate change. You know, we're just accelerating a little bit because the dinosaurs couldn't figure out how to burn their own poop.
Exactly. It's a finite amount of space.
I'm looking to check my science with Andy.
He looks at Andy.
I just wish they were.
Andy, that seems about right.
I wish someone was there to teach them. Jesus Christ.
Is that how that works? I went to Bible school, not school.
I don't know anymore. And God, I don't even know. That's crazy. It's good to hear those stories though, because a lot of people don't. They think they're alone in that fear and panic. And yeah, we conquer it and we move on with our day because we're numb and we're trying to pay our bills and get to the next place. But you can't help but have, like, even like just now, my little daughter was going to the park and I was like, okay, see you later. But in the back of your head, you're like, oh man, let's get through this thing.
Right. I'm so glad. I mean, this is going to sound weird, but I'm glad you told me that story about that athlete. Because my wife, the running joke in my family is my wife is way overprotective, and I'm just, if he falls off, he'll learn not to do it again. Mm-hmm. She's like, well, let's not let him do it.
I feel like that's almost every family.
Okay.
My wife's similar, but yes.
Sure, and she's the one who, like, when I'm cleaning out the garage, don't let him play in the driveway. I'm going to be home within the next half an hour. I'm like, ugh. I played in the driveway my whole life, but okay. But then I hear that, and I'm like, okay, so there's...
He drove over his
There's my
daughter.
Wife is right again.
I don't know how you go on.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most... Yeah.
I don't know why I keep going back to that story.
The reason you hear about it, though, is because it's so rare. That's the thing. If kids were getting run over every day, it would just be another traffic
accident.
It is rare,
but once you have a kid, you're like, it's within the realm of possibility of your life.
You know, who it's not rare to?
Oh, my wife.
The guy who ran over his own kid. It is not rare to him.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we should all just go buy lottery tickets then.
Honestly, yeah. I mean, we don't. But some people, I think that's why people do buy lottery tickets. They mortgage their house to buy lottery tickets.
I saved my luck for surfing.
Before I had kids, I would read that story and go, ugh, that sucks, man. That's a shitty story. But it didn't resonate because it wasn't within the realm of my possibility then. But now all of those... see that little ring? Yeah, the kids choke on those. They do?
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh, and see that thing? Yeah, that seems to spontaneously catch fire at times. Back up, what? Like, all those little things that were like, well, that's never going to affect me. Now you're like, well, it's only happened once out of 5 billion times, but it theoretically, it's the same way we go, well, I could win the lottery.
Right, right.
You are not going to.
Right, right.
But mathematically, if you buy one lottery ticket, it's possible.
Sure.
And once that possibility is there, then the fear that's associated with it. God damn it, now that's one more thing.
I still, even though like all that's, I'm still very, I try not to be judgmental of parents, but you mentioned you let your daughter come sleep in your bed with you.
Yeah.
And I have a good friend that they let, their daughter sleeps with them all the time, like every night. And I, in the back of my head, I was like, well, that's a fucking mistake. Like, how are you going to break that?
You didn't know that. Mistake.
And then they came over and dinner and told me the story of the complicated childbirth that they had. And they almost lost their daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, get her in your bed until you know what I mean? Like, I would do the same thing. My kid would be in my bed every night. So I kind of still have that.
I mean, wait, here's the thing. I don't hate it.
I'm sure it's great. Listen, my kid comes in the morning. My wife leaves around 6 a.m. and he wakes up himself. He's my alarm clock.
Yep.
That's why he slept till 8:30 today. And he'll come in and just climb into bed and like bring a book. And it's the best thing ever.
Yeah,
it's the best thing ever.
I know.
And we sit in there and we read a book together. And then I teach him. I taught him to dress himself, so he goes and dresses himself. And that's a whole other story. But yeah, it's the best thing ever.
I walked in, because I'm always with the older one. She's only 3.5, and I'm always like, hey, watch your sister. Like, she's, and so she's almost developed this motherly thing, and I walked into their room 2 days ago, and she was putting a diaper. The 3.5-year-old, I'm going to post the video eventually.
Oh, that's hilarious.
She was putting a diaper on, and the little one is like, Hannah, put my diaper on. And Hannah's like, I'm trying. And she couldn't get the, you know, you got to undo the tape and then tape it. And she, and finally, on the video, you can see she goes, she turns over her shoulder. She's like, Dad, I need help with the diaper. And I'm like, you're 3.5. This is crazy.
I try not to, I try not to be the, like the dad who's one, because, you know, we have a ton of single comic friends who are afraid of relationships and love, so they're just infinitely...
That was me.
I know.
And you.
I know, but we got somebody across the street is living fucking Peter Pan's life.
Yes.
Whether he know, you know, and I got a ton of friends like that.
All of them.
What so are you talking about?
You, Andy.
So I try not to be the, check, there's a video of my kid. So it's nice to hang out with another dad where I can do it.
Listen, when I first posted a few videos, a few of those guys were like, they were like, dude, if I wanted to watch your kid videos. And I called them individually and I said, listen, man, I don't know if you know this. It's my Facebook page. And I have parents and in-laws who want to see their grandchildren on the other coast. And so I'm going to continue. If you'd like, you're more than welcome to get off my page or let it go. Sure. And now, if I don't post a video with the kids in a week or two, like people will be like, hey, man, how are the kids doing? I haven't seen them. And they want to see it. Yeah, it is what it is. But it's, I love when people still reach out to judge what you're, it's like, dude, live your own fucking life, man. Stop telling other people what to do. Stop preaching your bullshit. Just live your own, do your own thing. And you don't have to always comment. You know, you could just not comment on somebody's thing.
Dude,
we don't care about your opinion.
Oh, man. I picked up I used to co-host Billing Vols Radio Show. Mm-hmm. So I have a lot of, listeners, people who follow my career. Yeah, people who follow. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Follow my career. If you want to call them fans, Andy, you can.
I wasn't going to call them that.
No, they're fans.
But they're all right. They're all super right wing. And then whenever I post something, I went through a little bit of a posting about Trump.
Sure.
We all did. When he first got elected. But then I realized I wasn't posting it to make a political statement. I was kind of posting it to my parents. So I'm like, all right, maybe I should just stop doing that.
Yeah.
I get really pissed off when the right would come in and start. And I'm like, this isn't about you. This is my therapy right now, you know? Yeah. And so I get a lot of the clashing, so I don't do any of that anymore.
You know what would be great is to have an actual record of all the tweets and Facebook posts and Instagram posts that I pondered and then deleted.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
If you had an actual record of all the things we wrote, but I think some people don't ever delete anything. They just post.
Sure.
Maybe take 2 seconds and think. I've looked at stuff. I actually posted one this weekend I almost kind of regretted because I'm former Navy.
Right.
Trump spoke at Arlington National Cemetery on Monday, right? And he was saying, oh, you know, these guys are here all, because it's Memorial Day is about people who gave their life for the military. And he goes, these guys are real heroes. And I go, so where's the line? If a guy gets shot down like John McCain, he's a loser.
Right.
He's not a hero. But had he died, he is a hero. And so I was like, it just came off as so insincere.
Right. Absolutely.
He goes, I like my heroes not to get caught. Well, you must love your heroes not to die in battle fucking. So I felt the same way about it. You know, it is what it is. But it's
I
like,
went from the Christian side of it. How could you call yourself a Christian and vote for this guy? You know, that's where all my anger came from.
Well, they, yeah.
And again, it goes back to my childhood, and it ended up being all about my parents.
It's all our history. I was watching Frontline about Steve Bannon, and I think the key is to look at somebody, how they get to that place where that's what they think. They have a whole history behind them. Mm-hmm. These people pop into the foreground, and then they come out with these crazy statements that we don't agree with, but when you go back through their history, you understand how they got to be that way. They grew up in a different environment and different thing, and they see the world this way. And it's crazy how we all see the world. It's going to be really funny to see how your son comes out, because he's growing up in California literally two generations away from Salvatore.
Right.
Coming over, all of a sudden, is a young man who's going to grow up in this kind of privileged lifestyle, probably more liberal than your parents, and growing up in a different thing. So it's odd to me.
It's going to be interesting. I'm curious. I got to see. Because, you know, like I said, my wife wasn't very religious. She loves her Greek. heritage. And
I love Greek yogurt.
Oh yeah, well. You and John.
Was that too far, Andy?
You and John Stamos.
Was that political statement? I went too far on the Greek.
You just lost half our audience.
You know, half my high school's Greek.
Oh, really?
I knew a few words in Greek. I played soccer.
Mm-hmm.
I was captain of my high school soccer team, and the whole team was Greek. It's Demos Papadopoulos.
Sure.
Sphikis.
Yeah, yeah.
Athena Kalapolitis sat next to me.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm always like, I learned Mesa meant pass the ball, you white Irish guy.
My father-in-law, we lived out here in California for a while and played soccer, but he quit the team when a guy of Turkish descent joined.
Sure.
We don't have to go into the history, but like, that's how much like Greeks are super superstitious,
yeah,
and hold resentments, yeah, like nobody's business. Like,
which is
I have
funny,
to
because didn't they invent democracy?
Yeah. No, they're super like my I have to put I found myself my wife you have to put your right foot and right shoe and sock on first. So like I've literally like put the left shoe on and my wife is like, no, take it off. You got to put the right shoe and sock on first for good luck, I guess.
Oh, I go sock, shoe.
Well, now I go right sock, right shoe. I used to never think about it.
Yeah, well, that's where I am.
Right.
This is the first I'm hearing that this is an actual point of discussion.
Yeah, no, just
I've
for the Greeks.
Heard about that.
Yeah, no, I don't know what this is.
It's just superstition. Like you can't, like if my wife's sitting on the ground with a kid and I step over her legs, I have to step back over and walk around. You can't step over somebody. You can't do anything on Tuesday because that's when the Turks invaded Greece. It's like, it's really weird.
This is a great segue into our final closing questions.
Knock yourself out.
There you go.
I have purposely did not listen to these five questions, so I couldn't prepare.
That was only a couple. We got rid of them.
It's because you've only listened to half.
I've only
podcast.
Listened to four half
it's
of your
more
podcasts.
More podcasts than I've ever listened to.
You don't listen
this
to podcasts on the road
for
when you're out?
Sometimes. Very rare. No, not really.
Oh,
no.
I do.
No.
I drive if I can. I don't
Once
fly.
I get away from the kids, I just sit quietly.
Yeah.
You gonna do anything? No, I'm just gonna sit here. Do
I don't know.
Watch
people
a movie.
Sit there
people
and
like,
think.
Why are you driving
to
San Francisco?
I wonder if my kid's breathing.
Why are you driving to San Francisco? And it's like that's 4.5 hours to
of,
myself.
Of peace and quiet.
Yeah, pull over, get an In-N-Out burger, listen to some podcasts. 80s.
But only half of them. Just only the half first half.
All right,
half
here's our couple questions.
I never go back. When I listen to a podcast, if I end it early, I never go back to listen to it because I can never find the part I stopped.
It's like Snapchat. They just disappear into ether. What is a trait that you hope your son gets from you and your wife?
I hope he gets my sense of humor, which I think he has, which is great. And I hope he gets my wife's work ethic.
Okay, not her fashion design. Just her work ethic.
Well, she's not a fashion designer.
I love that she has the work ethic and not you. Well, you're a comic.
She's not a fashion. I mean, well,
she does costumes.
She's a costume designer, which is a big difference.
But she designs.
But she doesn't design fashion.
No, that's true.
Yeah.
She designs fashion
for
if
he gets if he gets her eye for fashion, he's going to dress up like Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
She did that one.
No, she didn't.
Oh, I love that movie.
All right.
That's funny. What is a trait you hope your son does not get from you or your wife?
I hope he doesn't get my wife's anger.
I was going to say her superstition.
Or superstition. Nah, that's kind of fun. I have fun with
that. So it's so funny because for the first half of the podcast, she came off like the sweetest person ever. And now it's like, I hope he doesn't get her anger.
Pretty dark turn here.
Does she has a temper?
She's Greek. She has a temper. Absolutely.
She's a woman.
And I'm Italian. So, but I she grew up in more of a little house on the prairie type of life than mm-hmm. I did. So I got all that violence and anger out early.
What does she do when she gets angry?
I don't know. She snaps. I don't really want to talk bad about my wife, but you know,
I don't talk bad about her, but I'm very honest about how
right.
she's. Listen, here's the thing.
I'll say she's got a temper. I'm not going to say what she does with it, though. I feel like that. Unless she was here, I would feel
punch
free.
She'd punch you
and
right
then she
in
would
the just, balls.
She,
just
no, she would smile and we'd walk out the door the and she'd be like, "Yo, rah, 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 rah."
I mean, there was a couple nights in the first year of my baby's life that I was afraid, I think, to go to sleep where I was like, I feel like that woman might kill me in my sleep.
I had that.
Okay. All right. So we're on the same. I honestly, I'd be surprised if every dude doesn't have that. She was hormonal. She still had the baby weight. She was frustrated.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I don't know what I did. I'm sure I did something. I'm
sure.
Pretty selfish person.
Yeah, absolutely.
And a couple nights I was like, I'm not going to sleep great because I feel like she's going to kill me.
No, there was one night I can remember. I'm like, man, because we'd gotten into a blowout. And here's the other thing too. Like, I used to drink a lot, but my drinking has cut down so much since I had a kid. And I also learned early on that before we had a kid, if either of us has had a glass of wine, we are not fighting. like we'll just put it off till tomorrow. And one night I had a couple martinis and I didn't abide by that. And we got in it. I was an ass and we got into it. And that was the night where I'm like, I might not wake up tonight.
Actually, my wife's great on a glass of wine.
Oh, yeah?
She's the most fun, but she can't take a hangover to save her life. She'll kill you. All right, last question. We're out of here. What is a mantra that you would hope your son gets from you to live his life? Words of...
I was Baptist. Mantras are sins.
Words of... That's the mantra. Mantras of sins. What are words of wisdom if you could give him something to live his life by? But here's one of my favorites. Bert Kreischer said, eat shit, cash checks. And I was like, that's a good one.
What does that mean?
He goes, just do the work and get paid.
Oh, okay.
Like he would go, they want you to come in early for press. Eat shit, cash checks. He listed five of them.
Oh, all right, absolutely.
Which was a good one for him.
Yeah, yeah. No, absolutely. I don't know. I don't know. Probably, yeah, I don't know.
Eat Bert's shit.
Bert's cash in checks.
What have other ones been? There's been 100 of them. Yeah, there's been a lot of people just going, something they tell their kid, like, don't sweat the little shit. Or,
yeah. You know what? I don't care what other people think. That's what I would tell
them. That's important. I think that's an important one. Don't care.
It took me a while to not care what other
people think. I still
care. Yeah.
I really care sometimes, and it bothers me. I'm like, why do you care? You're good at what you do. Just do it.
Yeah.
But we all go through these panic attacks where we go, like, maybe I'm not doing this right.
Right. Well, plus we're in a business where people have to care. We have to get 300 people to care for us about us at a time, twice a night on the weekends. You know what I mean? So,
but the best comics, Bill Murray always says, he goes, I never sweated anything because I always perform at my best when I don't care.
Yeah.
And the truth is we do. I'm always, whenever I throw it away and I don't give a shit, I'm way better. Whenever I care and go, all right, just stick to the jokes, get through this set. Train wreck.
No, that's what I've been, especially this weekend. I did four shows. Two were sold out, Andy. But we were packed house, and I just went up, and I'd been sick of my set, and I'm like, I'm just gonna have fun tonight, and I just did an hour each night of 45 each night, and it was never the same set, and I had fun, and I came out with a bunch of new material, and I had a blast, but it was stressful too, all at the same time.
Right.
I always feel like before I go on stage, if I don't get a little butterflies, then I don't care enough.
But not too many butterflies.
No, not too many.
Like
six. I'm not going to go puke in the bathroom or anything like that, but just a little, just to kind of keep me on my toes.
Don't give a shit. That's like good care. All right, listen, thank you so much, Murray, for coming
and
joining us today.
My
guest
me.
Today, Mr. Murray Valeriano. They can find you at murrayvaleriano.com.
Sure. I'm better on social, at Murray V on Twitter.
Murray V
Comedy on Instagram. And Facebook.
Yeah, and that's where I do most and you're going to tour again in the fall.
Because the rest of that is a lot to spell.
Yeah. Exactly.
Or I'll put a link when I put this up.
Okay.
And we'll link you to stuff.
Yeah, I'll be working locally through the summer.
Yeah, and then I'm going to come back on. I'm going to do Road Stories again.
Anytime you want, buddy.
With my buddy, Mike Bean.
Great studio right down the street.
I'm coming
here.
In to do it. And go check out Road Stories, the podcast.
Absolutely.
It's really fun. Comics telling crazy road stories. It's always fun. Thanks to my producer, Andy Lerner, for today. And that's it. And we'll catch you next time on Father Time.